This is The Micro Effect.
The Micro Effect. www.themicroeffect.com.
You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
There was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away.
Well, good morning, listeners, to Connecting the Dots. It's Tuesday morning, December 11th. We are in the Christmas season. And yes, folks, I'm not afraid to say it. Christmas. Christ Mass. And today I have a gentleman on our radio show who has been a previous guest, but he is really here today to give us a message that we will all appreciate, all understand, and that we will really be able to move forward with something that improves our country. And it is, to me, one of the most compelling shows we're going to do this year, and that is Identifying, Defining, and Destroying the Liberal Plantation. And Pastor Matthew Cummings is on our radio program to talk about an initiative that he has created that will really improve the lives of everyone, but especially black community members and minorities who have been really by a system that is not there to improve their lives. And that system is not our system of government under our original Constitution. That system is a system that has been put in place over a period of over 100 years under socialism and Marxism and a movement to have government take more and more and more control of our lives. And Pastor Matthew, welcome to the show. You have you are an evangelical minister who has a parish in Colville, Washington, and you literally have traveled all over the world. I know that some of our listeners have heard your story before, but I'm sure there are quite a few that haven't heard it either, and I would like to maybe have you give our listeners a little bit of information on your background, how you grew up, and some of the things that you've been involved with.
Well, first off, good morning, Dan, and thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you here, Matthew. You're a terrific man, a good friend, and I really appreciate what you are trying to do to save this country.
Well, for those who may not have heard, I was recruited as a young boy in 1968 to 1969 for a communist school called Children's Community School in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And that school was run, and the principal of that school was Bill Ayers. That's right, William Ayers, the head of SDS, Students for a Democratic Society, and also one of the main leaders of the Weatherman Underground, a terrorist organization which brought federal installations all through our great nation. And his cohort or other worker that was a teacher, and I actually had befriended my mom, was a babysitter. Her name was Diane Ott, and she was the one of the main teachers of that school, and actually what's called Common Core now, all that was taught at that school was the forerunner for that way of thinking back then. And so I was recruited at 7, and the first day of class in 1968 basically was what was said to us students, about 32, 33 students altogether, was that you no longer have to listen to your parents. And everything that was taught was indoctrination into the Communist Manifesto. And when I mean that, and when I say that, I mean that. No conspiracy. Everything was taught that America was bad. Faith in God was bad. That children being wards of the state was more important than parental rights. And that the state had the last say in all matters. And so that, in a nutshell, was my introduction into what I would call now almost 56 years of politics, whether I like it or not.
Well, Matthew, I have to say, too, tell the story about your lovely mother, because I've met your mother, we've visited, what a fantastic lady, and how she really interceded, and how she literally grabbed you by the scruff of the neck and told you that the system you were learning was not right, and then went to the school board.
Sure. She, Mom is a God-fearing woman, and very much loves America, and when I came home with that idea of what Diane had said, my mother actually could have spanked me, and I deserved it, but actually pumped me for information for about 4 months and really got all of the indoctrination and the socialist dogma that was being taught to me at that time, and began to organize with other parents who also were receiving very disturbing ideas. Their kids were coming home, men and women, boys and girls coming home with disturbing ideas from Children's Community School, and they together went and confronted the leadership about what was being taught, actually asking for the Children's Community School to stick to the basics, the math, reading, English, and history, and civics, and the board, the leadership, refused to do so. And so, without further ado, my mom found it necessary, praise the Lord, to pull me out of that very terrible school of indoctrination into communism.
Okay, and then I know that your later life, you moved into ministry, but you went through a period of time where you really were, I guess, a little bit adrift. And tell our listeners about some of your experiences and some of the places that you went to. Do some ministry work and some of the things that you've been involved in, and then we'll start talking about really some of the things that we need to do.
Well, sure. You know, I had done, I'd gotten called to the ministry in 1984 through an encounter. I'd been at first at Grambling State University once I graduated from high school in Ann Arbor. And Grambling State was a traditionally black institution, and had in that time frame was kind of one would call lukewarm as far as faith and things of that nature. And a very hateful man came to speak at Grambling State University, Louis Farrakhan, and his dogma is anti-American, anti-white, anti-Jewish way of thinking, actually caught the school up. At the same time, a lot of fellow students were standing and cheering all of the rhetoric. I was sitting down going, now I'm not following God as I should, but he's misquoted the scripture, and plus, I mean, this man is full of hate. And so eventually that got me to transfer from there to the University of Houston. And at U of H, finally an encounter came, and the Lord called me into ministry, and my life really changed during that time. And I left and eventually went and ministered overseas, and God opened more and more doors from there, and from Australia to Europe and Israel, and was really, one might say, on the beginning, you know, the kind of fast track to getting recognized in ministry. And I am evangelical, but I'm what's called a Pentecostal, so you know, that's a whole nother story. But in general, was making a name for myself during that time, and preaching and ministering, and doors were opening. And that leads to the International House of Prayer in Kansas City in the early 2001, and more doors opened then, and ended up traveling overseas and ministering in Europe again, France, and during that time, that's when things began to change again, because that was during the time of Barack Obama's candidacy for the White House, and his travels to Europe were, I can tell you, very disturbing, because Europe treated him like a king, and he had not even won the presidency. And for most people, if you don't know, Europe mostly is social democratic, and so socialism's all through all of Europe. Most of the governments are very socialist in idea and ways of thinking, and so he had crowds of hundreds of thousands in France and the Netherlands and Germany. And what was real disturbing was every time you heard the translation from all of the different languages to English, the people were saying, finally America's going to elect someone that's like us. And that really disturbed me, and a lot of my concentration was in France during 2008, and the Lord started really, really talking to me about France being an atheist country, and that America was heading that way. And right then and there, I had an epiphany. First off, I was preaching, but number two, the epiphany was, God was saying, I need you to shut this ministry and go home. America's in trouble. And Barack Obama's going to win. That was another thing, even though Hillary Clinton looked like she might be the favorite. And that the socialists and communists were going to use race as a major issue to divide the nation. And gender. And Islam was going to grow with influence. And so I answered God's call out of obedience, and at that time I was submitted under a church in Nebraska, and told them that all of my meetings had been canceled, and it was time to come back home. The leadership there I was under was baffled, because I'd gone over preaching the kingdom of God. I came home still preaching the kingdom of God, but talking about an anti-God, anti-Christ spirit was about to become president, and America was about to go solely to the left. And that my background could help me give some understanding to people about what's going on.
Okay, Matthew, I'm just in case our listeners are not aware of this, you are a large black man, a very very committed to a conservative idea. And so it's not like you were outside of a system that was intentionally trying to create people of color to a system that was totally against everything that our country believes in. And I think it's I think it's safe to say that your path has been guided by God, that you happen to be in a school with Bill Ayers, that
yeah.
you were in a school that was associated with Louis Farrakhan, and that all the things that you've experienced in your life have led you in a direction that, you know, for lack of a better definition, has led you down a path of freedom and liberty.
That's right.
And moved you away from they tried to teach you. And
that's right.
And you've done it because you recognize the truth. And so that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today, because I want you to know and explain about the liberal plantation and how that whole system works, because everything that they're doing is intended to destroy opportunity and freedom and liberty and self-reliance and all the things that you are planning to try to promote. So let's go down that path a little bit.
Oh, sure. You know, even with all of the education to good, God-fearing, red-blooded Americans, it seems as though that there needs to be a reminder that our nation was built on godly principles, and that American exceptionalism is, for lack of a better word, the need for people to live freely in a republic, constitutional republic, that everyone can have opportunity. In that, there is not the distinction about race or gender or class, but that every American can have the true opportunity to make a good living for themselves and for their families. The agenda that is truly being pushed forward by the progressive socialists and communists look to destroy our legacy in every aspect of our life by allowing us to be dependent on the state. So through politics, through social engineering, through manipulation of the financial institutions, and through a long-term agenda to cause, I'm going to say, 65 to 75% of the people to be dependent on the federal government, this is all designed. And unfortunately, for communities like the Black community, the Hispanic community, and for, I'm going to say, millions of people who happen to be of European descent, everything is being directed to cause whole communities and whole groups of people to be dependent on the state itself. And it literally is being architect in that manner. So that's why people to this day still don't understand what Barack Obama's healthcare, Obamacare, really was about. It really is, as you know, but for most listeners, to destroy the system as it is and to bring people to fully be dependent on the federal government itself without any other way to go, causing at the end of the day a really totalitary state. So the liberal plantation really is, in a nutshell, everything organized and orchestrated so then every man and woman in our great nation is indeed put under a system of dependency to the state itself. Now, that does mean no private land. That does mean everything that generations have grown up in our great republic, that we've learned that we've gained is trying to be wiped out, literally, in one generation now. And so, watching our freedoms go quickly is disturbing, but even more, watching people who could take the stand, that's even another thing.
Yes, you're right about that. And, you know, the big problem that I see with the system, the way they're trying to attack all of our institutions, including our Christian churches and a lot of other institutions in our country, is that they're trying to separate us. They're trying to identify race. They're trying to identify gender, and now they're trying to identify genders that are completely off the map. I mean, everything is designed to identify separate groups in a way that causes conflict and not in ways that make us love one another and respect one another and work together to make the lives of everyone that much better.
Agreed. And you know, when one looks at just how things have been going, if they would just for a minute sit back and just think about it, almost every 2 weeks there's another crisis being brought up by the liberal media, a racial thing, a gender thing. You know, all of this is truly designed and organized to hit the emotions of a people that don't know any better and haven't really been brought to an understanding that our nation was already formed, I believe, perfectly according to Christian principles. And so therefore, if you remove Christianity, which is the main hit that's trying to happen, you have to remove Christianity, and you have to remove the moral fiber. You remove that moral fiber and it begins to unravel, then our constitutional republic is no longer there. So everything's being done. Every crisis that has been engineered of late has been to cause, yes, division, to cause people not to have faith in our constitutional republic, to cause people not to have faith in each other, and to begin to get into a place of hopelessness, which is exactly what socialists need to cause everything to move from a constitutional republic to a democracy. And we all know true understanding of democracy is mob rule.
Right, right. When we talk about communism and socialism and the isms that are trying to replace our constitutional republican form of government, we're talking about an atheistic society, because communists and socialists do not believe in God. They believe that man is God on earth, and that is an idea that's just totally corrupted and totally different than anything that the Christian church teaches.
That's right. Yes, and unfortunately, when I say that, I'm saying it in regard to what's been my dealing with the church. When you began to try to bring understanding and wisdom to fellow believers, there seems to be what I would call a glaze over their eyes and a seduction over their mind to kind of see that what's trying to take place is these people are trying to replace your faith in Christ, trying to replace your American God-given right. And yes, I'm saying it like that. Because under our, as you know, under our Constitutional Republic, we have the right for free expression of religion and faith. You remove everything that's happening right now, you no longer have a right to worship freely as you have been. And so people just don't get that this is personal, what's happening in these attacks. That every single time you see the news media focusing on a black-white issue or a white Asian or a white Hispanic, that it's being done to tear the very fabric of hope. And hope is the key for our Constitutional Republic to remain in place.
Yeah, absolutely. And naturally, we are, although we're talking about liberals here, I have to tell our listeners, and I certainly, you and I talked about this, Matthew, there are progressives in both political parties, and that's why President Trump is having such a tough time getting things done in Washington, because the swamp is filled full of creatures from every different political persuasion. And very few constitutionalists in that mix, and they're the ones that we need to be listening to.
Agreed. Amen.
Well, I have to get into the definition here of the liberal plantation, and part of the definition, we need to take a look at who some of the actors are that have put together those ideas. And if we go back to the icons of the Democratic Party, and actually one of the icons of the Republican Party in 1901 was Theodore Teddy Roosevelt. And Teddy Roosevelt was our first progressive socialist president, and he ran as a Republican. He replaced William McKinley, who was assassinated.
That's right.
Interesting how that always works. He replaced McKinley, and he moved a very, very socialist direction in our country. And I think a lot of our listeners don't realize that, because you hear all these flowery things about what a tough guy and a wonderful guy he was. And in fact, he was a progressive socialist. He was also a very much an imperialist. He did identify and think that America was superior to all the other countries in the world, but he was an imperialist, and he wanted power and control centralized under him, and he believed that he was the kind of leader to do that. Woodrow Wilson, the head of the Democrats, and obviously a real progressive president who enacted the 16th Amendment, the 17th Amendment, the 18th and 19th Amendments. All those happened under Woodrow Wilson, and Woodrow Wilson was very much a racist and a bigot. And yet he is still an icon of the left. Franklin D. Roosevelt was an icon of the left. He was very much a socialist, and he was also very much a man who believed that government should control virtually everything.
Agreed.
Matthew, we'll pick this up on the other side of the break. Sounds like we're moving into a break. I'm just trying to set the table here for you to talk about the liberal plantation.
Sure.
The Micro Effect.
www.themicroeffect.com.
Dan Haplin. Today my guest is Pastor Matthew Cummings, and we were talking about the foundation defining the liberal plantation. And Matthew, if you don't mind, I'm going to continue to try to finish a little bit of the background on some of the people that were involved in creating the welfare state in our country. Certainly, it started early in the 20th century, and Lyndon Johnson, President Lyndon Johnson, picked this up after, incidentally, President Kennedy was assassinated. A very similar situation that happened with William McKinley when Teddy Roosevelt became president. And Lyndon Johnson became president in 1963 after the assassination of John Kennedy. And he started working with a program called the Great Society. But Lyndon Johnson was well known for his racist jokes and comments, and yet he is now the liberal icon of this socialist welfare state that sprung out of the so-called Great Society. And we've had that kind of leadership who came from very, very different, very racist backgrounds. I use an example of Robert Byrd, Senator Byrd from West Virginia, who was in the KKK, and when he recently died, was held as the highest standard of the Democratic Party of what a wonderful, inclusive person he was. And so we've got to understand that the people who have set the stage for this liberal plantation have been the same people who are really the most likely to be racist, to be sexist, to be the kind of people that want to take away freedom, and they want to create a society that is a controlled society under socialism and communism. And, okay, Matthew, I'll let you take it from there.
Well, you know, it's quite interesting as you were naming the different actors in that, from Theodore Roosevelt after McKinley's assassination, and truly progressive, truly his establishment in the environment. I mean, the environmental movement got a lot of its ideas from Theodore Roosevelt, Woodrow Wilson, and the League of Nations. And, you know, when I was at Grambling State, I did a whole story on him, and how most people don't know, but in the early 1900s, because of Abraham Lincoln and the Emancipation Proclamation, that most of the black community was Republican. They voted Republican for years, and Woodrow Wilson did a very sneaky thing. He worked to, in a nutshell, give promises that he would not segregate federal installations if the black community voted for him. Knowing, of course, that he came from the South and Jim Crow was truly the rule of the land. And so he persuaded a number of black pastors and others to do so. And whereas the white community was split between him and Theodore Roosevelt, the black community sided with Woodrow Wilson and the Democrat Party. That's the first time that that actually happened, that the black community voted Democrat because of a liar. So as soon as Woodrow Wilson became president, within 6 months, he segregated every federal installation in America. And it's one little trail that I just want to do quickly. That brought, at that time, before Woodrow Wilson became president, there was not only a white press, but a black press would come and talk to the president about things. And the black press came afterwards, and a gentleman actually came and confronted Woodrow Wilson from the black press in regard to his changing his mind and actually betraying the black community and actually segregating federal installations. Woodrow Wilson's response was, "I'm the President of the United States, how dare you?" And he kicked out the black press. And since that time, the black press, as far as what was known as the black press, is not allowed to come into the presidency. So segregation, racism has always been the Democratic stronghold. Looking at that, looking at Lyndon Johnson, who at the time rising up, I believe he was from Texas, it's his objection to a minister speaking against him that caused the 501.C3, which was formed to bring all Christian ministries under that and basically put most of the churches that are with 501.C3 under the federal thumb. So when you look at this in regard to the very in-your-face issues and then side issues, the Democratic Party and the progressives and socialists on both sides have had only one interest in mind, to establish not just the liberal plantation, but indeed to make sure that every aspect of your life is indeed under the control of the state itself.
Yes, and you know, when we're defining the liberal plantation, just so people understand, what we're talking about is creating government programs that really make us beholden to a system that they provide the money, they provide food, clothing, housing, whatever, under the auspices of a welfare state. And at the same time, as they do that, they gain stronger and stronger control, where we literally become slaves of the state. And I use this example as a perfect example, is the Native Americans, the American Indian reservation system, and
okay,
how the federal government has literally stolen their lives by putting them in a, you know, and I'll call it what I think it is, a concentration camp on a piece of land, and they are given just enough money to keep them beholden to the system. And I think the first liberal plantation really came from Native Americans in the in American Indian reservation system.
Agreed. No question.
And, well, we are talking about something here that now I want you to talk about, and this is something that I am so pleased that you're doing, and this is something called the self-reliance initiative, and you are working with other people around the country. I know you've got a fairly large group of contacts that you work with, but the self-reliance initiative is designed to create a system where people have an opportunity to work outside of government programs and to utilize the tools that our founding fathers gave us, that gave us freedom, self-reliance, and the ability to excel and do well in our own lives.
That's right. And basically, believe that through private enterprise, working with different groups as far as grassroots, that we can help people get the skills necessary to move from dependency in the state to independence. And I've been very thankful as far as the response so far from different groups of people who seem to be interested in seeing a new grid built, a new net built. And what I mean by that is that it's not acceptable that with all the jobs that are available, with all the skilled labor that's there, that more and more people are not directed in that manner towards that or to get education towards bettering themselves, then automatically going on the dole and gaining the welfare check itself. And so the Self-Reliance Initiative is basically we're beginning to set the stage and the foundation of the 25-year plan with the interest in indeed creating a different atmosphere where we can begin to reach out to people in two stratas. Those that are on the system and those that are just on the precipice of coming into the system. And so that's why the 25-year plan, because we believe that that we can head off a number of people who are heading that way. We call that the preventive scale. And then for those that are on the system, working with others to create programs and which are not nonprofit, which will not be federally funded, which will allow for everyday common sense citizens to work together to see if we can help people move from dependency to becoming independent. Not a handout, but a hand up, and eventually people being able to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps.
Well, I think, you know, this program that you're talking about, Matthew, is an ideal way to re-energize our freedoms and our system of government the way it was originally intended. And I know you and I mean, we've become great friends. I think you understand that I don't have a racist bone in my body, but yet, you know, whenever people who talk about constitutional Republican government and talk about different ideas that try to reinforce what the Founding Fathers believed in, we're called white supremacists, we're called white nationalists and all these things. That's why it's so important that we be working together with groups like yours and people like you who understand just exactly how important it is that we work together and we end these stereotypes. We end these things that groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center and these other communist promoting groups are trying to slice and dice and put us in their little categories and call us things that are just totally untrue.
Agreed. You know, I'd just give an example, a much more local example. Just begun to do more work, although I'm up here in the Colville, Kettle Falls area. I've been down in liberal and racist, yes, I said that, Portland, Oregon. And I have been working with some black leaders down there and some other leaders in the area to begin to bring the Self-Reliance Initiative up and running. And upon a discussion with a few leaders who happen to be black, a discussion was mentioned about the NAACP. And the moment that was mentioned, they both, who've been in that community for 40 years, just started laughing and laughing out loud and said basically in a nutshell, the NAACP has no interest in seeing people come off of dependency. And listen, that is a surprise to hear leaders who I would say probably even 5 to 10 years ago would never admit that, have begun to really see that. And number one, I attribute that to Trump being elected. Come on. Number two, that a lot of people, a lot of good, decent, common sense people around the country see a very terrible direction that we're going, and yet feel overwhelmed because they're going, so how can we deal with this? And so as I've begun to discuss the Self-Reliance Initiative, around the areas that I've been able to speak of, I'm finding that I'm having people who would never talk are beginning to talk and have discussions and things of that nature. So it's been very refreshing to finally meet people who are beginning to go, you know what? It's not acceptable that our sons and daughters and our grandbabies are on welfare. It's not acceptable that they're seeking public housing, that they're not looking for a job, that they don't have the skills necessary to help better their life, you know. And so, you know, a lot of what I've been discussing with the last initiative is to give a true opportunity for people to better their lives. And so this opportunity to speak about it is very much a blessing. And I'm hoping that we can get more and more people to begin to really take a real look at, you know, if we're waiting for others to do it, no. I believe because we're God-fearing Americans, we're to see this turn around ourselves. So that's why I've started this initiative. And I believe that, you know, we're going to see good things happen very shortly.
Well, and Matthew, I think that it's important for our listeners to understand just how necessary it is to support programs like yours, because what you're trying to do is eliminate the desperation and the hopelessness that the liberal plantation has embedded into the black community, into different cultures, all cultures. They have created a system that takes away self-reliance and self-initiative and creates a desperation and a hopelessness that we've got to beat, a system that we've got to defeat, and we've got to create the kind of society that recognizes that we're all in this battle together.
That's right.
Agreed. Well, let's talk about what people, and we've got a lot of time to explore this whole idea, but I want to talk about how this program, how you're trying to flesh this program out, and how you're trying to create the people and the structure to make this a reality in our modern world in a way that people can get behind it and really support this whole program.
Okay. So, you know, we're self-reliance is colorblind. You know, we're really looking to reach all people, men and women, of every social and economic strata. As the discussion's been going forth, we've been finding that there are people, even in people who we would never talk with, are beginning to get interested. People who are in unions, people who are in business, other faith-based leaders, people who have a real interest in mentoring. And so, you know, as of right now, there's just a real, what I call, a cross-section of people. And I've done about, at least down in the Portland area, I've done about now two talks, and we're beginning to get people that are meeting who have different aspects, are in the different trades, are interested in seeing how we can take a initiative and a program. By the way, it's not nonprofit. It is a for-profit business, because our goal really is to see people equipped, many women equipped, to work with people who are job trainers, to work with people in the education field. And so we have found that there are a number of different groups that normally would not be talking that are all finding common ground in seeing a turnaround in our society. And so that's what's mainly been the mix. Watching God bring people who normally would not be in discussion that are actually right now talking and waiting for the next step. And the next step is fundraising that we're going to be doing in May and June. So then we can get some offices ready to go in November. And with that, number one, we're looking to get not just those that you heard, but also I'm hoping to get conservatives who are like in landscaping, conservatives that have the trades and others that can come into a place and with people who are a part of the initiative can see and hear how these trades are done, how business is done, you know, can learn and begin to what I would say in a nutshell, begin to dream again, you know.
Right. It sounds like we've got a break coming up here, but let's pick that thought up right on the other side of the break.
Sure.
www.themicroeffect.com.
You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
A mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switch and bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the people and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand.
Well, welcome back to Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel. And today our guest is Pastor Matthew Cummings. And Matthew, you were talking before the break about the Self-Reliance Initiative and what some of the programs that you are anticipating that could spring off of that initiative that could help in job training and so forth, and how that whole program is completely colorblind. It's intended to make everyone's lives better.
That's right. And we're finding, as we've been discussing more about the rollout of the initiative, that we found people, again, who would not be talking for political views or others, that are actually becoming more and more interested in seeing their fellow man, actually began to come off dependency and become independent itself. So it's a work in progress, as I said. It's 25 years. It's a longer-term plan, not not something short. When a person, when a man or woman comes into the initiative, the program itself, our interest is to help them not just in 1 year, but we would love to be a part of their working with them for at least about 4 or 5 years to help them in forming better habits, good habits, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, financially, all of the above. So, you know, it's a initiative that we believe is necessary because with all of the generations that have been caught up on the welfare system, the mindset, you can't break that in just a, you know, in just a short time. And honestly, I know 25 years is not enough, but it's the beginning, you know, so.
Yeah, you're right. It's going to take a while. And I know part of this is because of your own experience as a young man, a child, growing up in a system that was trying to promote the exact opposite of what you to promote, that you have that sensitivity to try to break that cycle, that dependency, that cycle of poverty, and trying to bring people, literally get people to pull themselves up by their bootstraps and make their lives better, because there is opportunity in this country, although we were losing it very quickly.
That's right.
Under Barack Obama, we had a huge increase of the number of people that went on welfare.
That's right.
That were dependent on government programs like food stamps. And
right.
Under President Trump, we have resurgence of the economic sector as far as industry moving back into the United States and jobs being created. And we went from being a very, very high unemployment rate 10 years ago to right now we've got record low unemployment, and most of it's happened within the last 2 years.
That's right. And it's vital that as conservatives, as constitutional republic followers, that the population of common sense people work together to see how many of our fellow men and women can move back into what American assessment really is, which is a man being able to work to make a good living for him and his family, yes, pull themselves up by their own bootstraps, not look for a handout, but actually look for a hand up, and then become themselves ones that can multiply that to another generation, so our great nation can fulfill its destiny in this time.
Well, Matthew, one of the things that we have to and we're trying to promote is that the conservative constitutional Republicans that we've got in this country, we need to recognize how important it is to support people like you and programs like yours, because they're telling the world, the other side, liberal plantation, the progressive socialists are telling the world that we don't care, that we are here to rape and pillage and destroy everybody's lives, and we are here for only our own profit, and we are here to take advantage of people of color and people of lower economic status and all this, and it's really important that we step up and show America and the world just exactly how committed we are to freedom and to the idea of self-reliance, and we can do that. And that's why it's so important for our listeners and anyone that is interested in improving our country, the way we can do that is by example. An example is put your money where your mouth is. Am I right?
Yes, that's it. That's true. And so, you know, I found that most conservatives, actually, you know what, I'm going to say it different. All conservatives that I've met, there's not been a racist conservative that I've met. And let me tell you why I say that. If it is about content of character, that's always what I felt I've been judged by. Not my race. So, to be honest with you, I've always felt more racism from Democrats, more racism from people who claim to be moderate and not really interested in our constitutional republic. And so it's always been the opposite of what the media and the liberal plantation spoofs have been trying to say over the years. And, you know, those of us who have taken stances, no matter what race, it's cost us, you know. And but the cost is worth it because America is worth it. And so it's vital that for those who are listening and others that are for liberty, that even if you are not able to be involved with the Self-Reliance Initiative, that you really find some people that you can invest in seeing them come off of welfare, come off of the welfare mindset itself, you know. Because the reality is that a politician can only do so much. It's we the people that can change this nation and bring it back to God and bring it back to the Constitutional Republic it's supposed to be. And that, at the end of the day, is what's going on. So that's, for me, because of my background, I realized that, you know, I have got to help my fellow man reconsider the socialist communist way of thinking. And I believe the Self-Reliance Initiative is the best way to do it as far as how I'm going about it.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that, Matthew. And, you know, you talk about the liberal left being the most openly racist and sexist, and they really are, because, see, you don't fit their comfortable paradigm. They're happy being around black folks who are dependent on the system and dependent on them to provide them with, you know, their food and clothing and everything else. You step outside of that paradigm and you act as an independent person and you talk about self-initiative and things like that, which are anti-communist, and all of a sudden the liberal left turn on you and try to destroy you, even though you are a black man trying to improve the lives of other people within your race and every other race.
That's it.
Well, yeah. Let's explore maybe some of the things that you want to, programs that you want to see spring forward off of the Self-Reliance Initiative. And I know you've got a list of programs and ideas that you would like to see happen. And I want you to explain to our listeners how these programs are so much different than what some of these other government-run programs are like, and what the difference is.
Well, again, the first part of it is it's not a non-profit. I'm not against non-profit. I'm trying to get come across. Most nonprofits eventually will tend to do the program close to about 18 months to maybe 2 years at the most, and gain financial or economic strength through federal funding. Self-Reliance Initiative does not get anything, will not take any federal funds. We're looking to do all, get all private donations. And that means number two, as I said, the program is 5 years, between 3 to 5 years. We're looking to do, to work with conservatives and others in regard to a real mentoring program. In other words, taking young men and young women and getting them with people who can mentor them in moral compass, and looking to get their GEDs, looking to get their educational background. We're looking to, the other part of that is reestablish what I call a real work ethic. That's the other reason why the Self-Reliance is talking about a 3 to 5 year deal, where literally people who are part of the program will be encouraged to, if they need a GED, they do that, but also working with local businesses who will enable them to get to work, help establish, of course, self-worth and things of that nature, but even more, offering what has been missing, hope and opportunity for men and women who for years have not seen work and not seen self-worth as being something to work for and to strive for. So basically, in a nutshell, working with those who've been on drug addiction, those who've been in addiction houses, working with ministries, we call that the preventive scale. Basically, that ministries and other groups who've been working with these different groups, usually their time frame to get a person drug-free and get them to the place where they're able to their function is the average time's around 18 months to a to 2 years. Our purpose is to take them from there, and then to see that they're able to elevate to the next level with independent living and things of that nature. Again, without federal funding at all. The other part of that is, as I said, is being able to set the groundwork for how we might enable people who've been in the prison system that have most people who've come out of incarceration, when they come out, of course, it's halfway houses, and if they've really paid their debt to society through that, there is not really what's been called a way to rehabilitate. So when they get done, if they have a record, most cannot get jobs. And that whole area, we're looking to set up a way where when they do get done, if we find that they're really interested in a hand up and not a hand out, we would work with different groups and financiers to see if they can't get into a situation where they can get a job, where they can work for their keep, and be able to better themselves in the long run. And so the last but not least is what I've run into, even within the last month or so, hundreds and hundreds of people whom all over have said to me in conversation that the Self-Reliance Initiative had been in place when I started out 20, 30, 40 years ago. And these are people who are well-respected people, but were on drug addiction, had been in prison, had been in trouble. These men and women who all said, if this had been there, I would have not have gone through a 20, 30-year spiral being dependent on the federal government. So I've heard that all over. So this is an initiative whose time has come, and it will break off into several different functions. And we're, with the help of others, and with God's providence, we're looking to get things open and ready to go by next November of next year, 2019.
Now, Matthew, part of your program would be providing counseling for people who are going through some of these problems, like drug addiction, like say being recently released from jail or from prison. There are requirements of counseling. How do you see approaching that?
Well, actually, it's interesting. As you were just talking, outside of my ministry and everything, I'm on what's considered a few other ministry boards, and there are several Christian counselors who actually have such backgrounds in that we would like to refer people to in regard to that as well. So there is counseling that will be a part of it. Every strata of society that has been looking for such a program to come, we've found people have shown interest. So we do have people who actually will have counseling degrees, will be of service in that way. So we have the faith, we're looking for more economics, but we have also the psychological and other things of that nature that are there already, as well as people who are in the trades and as far as backgrounds are concerned. So,
well, I really appreciate it as a by background, I'm a commercial building contractor, and we've watched a change in our culture that have stressed college degrees and education in a way that has really stripped a lot of good people out of the trades. And in my mind, many of the trades are the areas young people can really excel and make a great living. And matter of fact, they're perfect examples of how someone in the construction trades or a welder or someone that has skills using their hands can make twice as much as somebody with a PhD and 17th century English poetry. There's obviously it depends on what you get your degree in, but it also depends on our society at this point is rich in opportunity for people who have real skills with their hands.
That's right. And so in a nutshell, this is a time and opportunity to do it. And our interest in seeing a number of men and women go into the internships and the apprenticeships in the trades is first and foremost. And so we're really looking to make a concerted effort to see that happen. And I've spoke at a church setting with a number of people there and basically said with passion, the time for talk is over. It's time for some action. It's time for some people to actually bring these kinds of programs, initiatives into the forefront. And I and some others are committed, and I'm getting others who seem to be showing an interest in it. And we're really hoping to expand our support system, and eventually we would love, with God's providence, to be all over the nation within the next 5 or 10 years, setting up this all over to help facilitate a real change in the society itself. And first things first, we're just happy to be talking on the air.
Mm-hmm.
stuff.
Well, Matthew, I see a real opportunity here for people who do have resources. Let me ask you a question. Is there a way that people who do have resources could maybe contribute to a scholarship fund or something that would allow young people to get into a trade school or a training program through, you know, a community college or a trade school where they can pick up skills like welding and diesel mechanics and construction and plumbing and so forth and so on. Is there a way that that program can be set up where folks who do have the resources to contribute could take a tax deduction for providing an educational scholarship?
Well, you know, that can be set up. As of right now, on my website, macummingsllc.com, we're looking to get all that established and get that set up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we're in the stages where we're trying to get the word out and trying to get people to really get past the word overwhelmed when they see the situation and move into a place of activism and action. So every bit helps. Right now, the best I can say, if you go on the website and you're able to contribute to MA Cummings LLC, that is for specifically the Self-Reliance Initiative and what will be a fund that will be set up eventually for young people who can go into the trade schools and things of that nature. That's the only way I can say it right now. We're vigorously working to obviously get through this holiday season. By the way, I want to say early Merry Christmas to you and to the listeners. And, you know, we're really going to be buckling down. Even next month, there's a meeting that's going to be happening with a group of people to really push forward some real fundraisers, some other things to bring this into fruition, and then to bring that that scholarship into fruition. Believe it or not, I have a letter written. We were already looking to do something like that to see to it that people can actually move into the trade schools, young people can actually move into that direction. So we're already thinking, you know, along that lines.
Mm-hmm. Well, Matthew, it sounds like we've got a break coming up, but we'll pick that up on the other side of the break. And in the last half hour, let's talk to our listeners about how they can be part of the solution.
Serving the planet, The Micro Effect.
www.themicroeffect.com.
Welcome back to Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel, and today our guest on the radio program is Pastor Matthew Cummings, and we are talking about a program that he's put together called the Self-Reliance Initiative, and it is targeted at really at people who have been living within a system that's taken away a lot of their self-reliance and their independence. And this is a group of people, irrespective of race, creed, or color. This is folks who have really had their freedoms taken away by a reliance on a system that is designed to create wards of the state. And this is a system based on communism and socialism. And Matthew, you are one man who has a really excellent background to expose the lies of the progressive socialists and the liberal plantation. And that's why it's so important to have someone like yourself as the, I guess, the leader, the founder of a program like this. So let's talk about how our listeners, how people can really get involved and how they can help. Matthew, are you still on the broadcast? It sounds like we may have lost Pastor Matthew Cummings' connection on the program. We need to reestablish that connection, so we will do that, but in the meantime, I would like to really mention to our listeners how important it is that we reinforce programs like this, because this is the answer to the freedom that we deserve, and this is the answer to all the liberal left programs that are trying to get us to be under government control.
And, hello?
I look at folks like Cynthia McKinney, who is a good friend of ours. She's met Matthew at the Red Pill Expo this summer. And Cynthia is a lady who is a product of, let's say, at one time, of the liberal left. And she's also one who wants to throw off the chains of being identified as one particular group or another, and she just a good lady who wants to see life better for everyone around her, and that is exactly what this self-reliance initiative is all about. Matthew, are you back on?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, very well. Thank you.
Sorry about that.
Well, that's the world of technology, and we need to wrap up the last half hour. I really want you to have an opportunity to talk about how people can contact you, how people can participate in this program, how people can be part of a solution that is based on Christian charity, but as you say, a hand up, not a hand out. And
that's
right. It's based on us being the kind of people, the kind of loving people who care about each other and care about the lives of everyone around us, and people who have been really beaten down by a system that's designed to make them wards of the state.
That's right. So, you know, there's right now three ways that I can be contacted. Number one, of course, is if you have an interest to send check, you can send it to a P.O. Box 1100. That's M.A. Cummings, LLC, by the way. M.A. Cummings, LLC, P.O. Box 1100, Colville, Washington, 99114. And the other way is, of course, going onto the website, because the Self-Reliance Initiative is a subsidiary of M.A. Cummings LLC. So you can go onto the website, macummingsllc.com, and through PayPal, people can donate if they so choose. Also on there, there's a number of YouTube messages I've given in different times about the political situation, a few messages as far as me preaching. But and then, of course, there's a stint on there about the Self-Reliance Initiative in just a nutshell. And so also, you have a phone number, if that's all right with you. People can contact me through a phone number, and that is 360 784 1695, if you so choose to call. Would love to hear from fellow conservatives and fellow men and women of liberty that are ready to see things move in a different direction than the world and the welfare mindset state. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, and Matthew, my understanding in talking with you is that not only are you looking for people who would be potential financial contributors, but you're also looking for people who want to become part of the mentoring program and of the training programs, potentially employers and people who are willing to step forward and be part of the solution instead of the problem.
All the above. That's why I've said to people that it's time to build a new net, a new grid, and that is with the resource of people that have the skills and are interested in seeing a real paradigm shift in our nation. So interested in all the above, people who can train, people who have the skill sets to mentor, and of course others who can counsel, and there are many more needs that are there than just financial, no question.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that one of the reasons that you are doing this as an LLC rather than as a 501c3 is that you've recognized how the church has become completely controlled by the tax-exempt status. And you mentioned Lyndon Johnson and the fact that some of the ministers spoke openly against his programs, and as a result, he used the 501c3 as a punishment to really shut down religion. And I know you are a big promoter of the Black Robe Regiment type pastors in our country, and that people are not familiar with that concept. It was the ministers of the churches throughout the colonies were really part of the, let's say, the structure of the Revolutionary Army. And
that's
they
right.
were the most outspoken members in talking of freedom and living under a Republican form of government, which springs from common law, or some call it natural law, which is God's law.
That's right. Agreed. And the Black Robe Regiment and hundreds of thousands of good, honest, common sense, God-fearing people need to rise up again, because we have a threat that's there in the communism, socialism manifest, and the liberal plantation system that's trying to be placed on the back of our necks. And so, you know, it's vital and it's important to speak out, to be vocal, to be active, and to take a stand. And I've had to get to a place as a minister, not just as a black minister, but as a minister, because I'm allowed to speak in many different types of churches, where I've had to basically, you know, it doesn't matter what the cost. America is worth whatever happens. America is worth whatever happens.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I had to get to that place where it's worth no matter what happens. And with a lot of pastors and ministers, because of the 501c3 and that spirit of intimidation, they're just afraid that they're going to lose everything, not realizing they've been losing it over the last 100 years.
They have, and they've become, let's say they've become servants of the state rather than servants of God, and they've done that because they're more worried about losing their tax exempt status than they are in preaching the Word of God and in telling individuals when their government is corrupt. When we have a system moving into place that promotes socialism and communism and Marxism instead of our natural law, our constitutional law, then we've got a system that basically the pastors of the United States that believe in the 501c3 and all the kowtowing to the government are literally bringing their own rope to the hanging, and they're going to be the ones that are going to be hung with that rope.
That's right. That's it. And for the listeners, I know that sometimes when you hear such strong remarks, you know, that can almost be shocking. But the reality is that unless a person realizes what we're talking about needs to become personal, it's only then that you begin to respond and act. And right now, you have hundreds of millions of God-fearing Christians who don't realize that they are literally, whether they realize it or not, they're serving the state and not God. And that's the problem.
Well, that is a problem, and Matthew, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I know how dedicated and how committed you are to God's Word. I know how committed and dedicated you are to, frankly, you've lived a life of poverty most of your life because of your dedication to Christianity and to God's Word. And I want you to explain to our listeners why, if they send money to your LLC, how they will not be, you know, how they can trust you to do what you say you want to do with that money and not, you know, not line your own pockets with it. And I understand that because I know you personally, but I want you to tell the listeners why they should trust you to do the right thing with that money.
Sure. Without tooting a horn, it's been about 35 years that I've lived meager, trusting God, traveling. God brought me all over the world by His leading of the Spirit. I have no interest in building an empire for myself. I have every interest in seeing that our fellow man is actually given the opportunity to make a decent living. I right now believe very strongly that we're in a time where action is necessary, and taking stances that I've taken was never to call attention to myself. It was to be the representative that God has called me for such a time as this. To be honest with you, if I had been anyone else, I would be on Christian TV right now because of just how things are. So I'm not an evangelist that milks people. I'm not a person that is seeking my own interest. I always try to do what God's asked, and even if it costs me, I've done it. And so I believe that if you pray about it, if you're a Christian, you'll find that I am God's man. I have an interest in seeing many, many people's lives changed, and will do exactly what I say. In fact, that's the other thing. Every time I've looked to do something, I have done it, and that's caused people to be scared of me because I will do what I say. So that's the best I can
say. I believe that, Matthew. Yeah, I believe that, and I have to say, you were one of our presenters this summer at the Red Pill Expo in Spokane, and as a Pentecostal minister, you do have the ability, you are quite a public speaker, and you do have the ability to be spellbinding, and I have to say that your presentation at the Red Pill Expo, you've sure stirred a lot of people's emotions in a very positive way.
Right. And, you know, look, you know, all I can say is that I'm God-fearing, and I have no interest getting in trouble with God, first off, and with man. And Dan, people like you and others are going to be people who can hold me accountable. I have no problem with that either, you know. So I'm excited about what the Lord's doing. And if you feel led to help, praise the Lord. If you don't, praise the Lord. Keep us in prayer. Amen?
Yeah, that's exactly right. If people don't have the resources to contribute financially, and they do have, let's say they don't have the resources to be part of the mentoring or anything else. Matthew, your comments, keep Matthew in your prayers, because that is equally important to all the other elements to make this program successful.
Amen.
Well, Matthew, we've got about 6 or 7 minutes left here, and I really want to get a little bit more information to our listeners in case they tune in late on how they can help you with this program. I do know that there are some people like Cynthia McKinney, and I mentioned her as we were coming back on the air after the break, and I don't know if you overheard part of that discussion, but there are people of virtually every political persuasion, as long as they believe in individualism over collectivism, they believe in individual liberty, that can be part of the solution. And I know that I'd love to have a program maybe early next year sometime where you and Cynthia and a number of others can be on that call talking about how self-reliance and programs that that promote individualism and promote private property, why they're so important for this country.
That would be wonderful. I'd love to do it.
So. Well, let's plan on that, because I think this self-reliance initiative is something that needs to be pursued. It needs to be supported. It's something that we need to do. And as I said earlier, as conservative Christians that believe in our constitutional republic, it's time for us to stand up and put our money where our mouth is, and quit depending on others to do all the heavy lifting for us.
Amen. Amen. So, I'm referring people to the website so that people can get a general idea of what I've done, how I've spoken. I've been very consistent in my conservative views, as far as when people go on there and see the YouTube, not only at the Red Pill, but in other meetings, speaking before the, of all places, Multnomah County, the Republican Party, speaking about the Northwest Convergence Project, which was the foundation of what we're doing here now. And I refer people to that, so then they kind of get a real idea of where I'm at, where I'm coming from, as far as the website. I'll give that again: macummingsllc.com, and on there you can see a number of messages I've given. There's also there may be a radio interview I gave with the doctor from Georgia as well, and the Self-Reliance Initiative, as far as in a nutshell what's written there. And although it says Stevens County, it's really for the state of Washington and eventually for across the country, and Lord willing. And our other aspect is that if you're not able to do that, you can write me a letter to ask more questions from M.A. Cummings, LLC, P.O. Box 1100, Caldwell, Washington, 99114. If you have more questions, we'd love to answer that. And if you're willing to have partnership with us in regard to self-reliance, we'd love that as well. And we're always interested in having people who are plumbers and in the trades and carpenters and different trades and skills that we can begin to have work with us for mentoring purposes for young people. All the above we're looking to do. It's a huge undertaking, but we found that when we prayed about it, that God has said, go for it. So I believe God wants to turn our nation around, and I believe this is a more practical way to do it. So thank you for your time.
Well, Matthew, I absolutely agree. This is the way that our founders intended for the country to operate, and I don't think they ever envisioned the day when we would have the kind of dependence on government programs and socialist ideas that we have today. I mean, it was just totally foreign to our system of government under our Constitution. And I believe that our political leaders in this country have really gone down the wrong road. They're going on the wrong course. And even some who call themselves conservative consistently support programs that are very, very socialistic in their makeup. And they do it because they're afraid to be out of step with political correctness, or to be out of step with, they hear, well, you're heartless, you don't care about people. The reality is that the reason we think the way we do, Matthew, is because we do care about people, and we are colorblind, and we are trying to do the right thing that will make this country great again. Would you like to kind of tell our listeners in a few words exactly why you want this program to succeed, and what really is in your heart as you move forward with this program?
Because of my background, where I was being trained and indoctrinated as a socialist and communist, I am fully persuaded that the Self-Reliance Initiative can be and should be a program that comes to fruition, so then a number of men and women of all races, of all genders, can actually begin to gain self-worth again and begin to get the skills needed to make a good living for them and their families, and at the end of the day can begin to have hope again, because there is no way on the federal system that you live in hope. You always live in dependency and in a mindset of survival. And so therefore, a person that lives in the mindset of survival, which is the welfare mindset, cannot comprehend truly what the founding fathers and what our nation was meant to have and meant to be. They're always concerned about how am I going to get my next food? How am I going to get my next check? How am I going to begin to, in other words, everything in that mindset moves people away from collaboration. And what I mean by that is wanting to work for your fellow man and more towards selfishness. And that destroys a nation from within.
Well, Matthew, you're right on the money, and the name of your program, the Self-Reliance Initiative, is a perfect definition as well as the name of your program, because it's really all about self-reliance, being able to rely on oneself to provide for their family, to provide for themselves, and to get away from the dependency of a liberal plantation that's been destroying that self-reliance for the last 100+ years. Matthew, you're a fantastic gentleman, a fantastic speaker, and I just want to thank you for all you do to try to support truth in this country.
Thank you. God bless you.
There was a man. Well, Merry Christmas, Matthew, and we will have you on again very, very soon. Thank you for being our guest.
Thanks. Merry Christmas to all. And Happy New Year. The brave land of the free was the envy of the world. But this shining sun.